mission field. They need buildings for church and home, for missionaries and pastors. What should we do? I'm open for suggestions.
I say, let's dig in and get the job done.
I have it drilled into me all my life to always be ready to do my bit for the Lord's work.
And I know with a little help I can do a pretty good job.
I'll measure on any job that's given to me.
Well, let's square our shoulders and get to work.
Be sure we start right by laying a good foundation for the Lord.
Enough to keep their thumbs out of my way, if you know what I mean.
May I give you a little advice? We can't do the job without help from the Nazarene people.
Boy, you hit the nail on the head. We need some of the green stuff they call money. Oh, look here. Here comes the alabaster box.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
What are all of you up to today? Well, why are you just standing around? Well, I came just in time then. Grace Point Church of the Nazarene is taking up an alabaster offering next Sunday. And I think we will have enough of that green stuff to meet your needs. Now you'll be able to get the job done for the Lord.
Wow, just in time. That's great.
I think it's time to get started. Everyone load up the wheelbarrow, and let's get going.
Well, you sure won't catch me sawing logs. Oops, maybe you will.
Just remember, every little bit helps, right, Square?
It's great to be a square in a round world. To be not, or to be the question.
Oh, please don't start again. I just move over and let's fling some dirt.
Let's get started. I'm getting a pounding headache just from standing here doing nothing.
It's time to nail down this job. Ouch.
Inch by inch, and yard by yard, I will roll up my sleeve and work real hard.
Remember, the only foundation we build on is Christ, our sure foundation.
And
buttons tingles up and down my handle. I'm ready to paint the world beautiful.
Well, Alabaster, we are all loaded and ready for our journey. We certainly came through for us. Please thank the people of Grace Point for doing their part.
Yes, we'll be sure to thank them for their alabaster offering. They are always happy to be a part of God's work. Goodbye. See all of you later. God bless you as you do your work for the Lord.
Thank you, Grace Point.
Great job. And as we heard, timing is everything. Good job. You did good. So next Sunday is our alabaster offering. And every February, every September, we have our alabaster offering. And it goes, as you heard, to missionaries, the work of the church around the world. We are in 150-plus world areas. And it helps build schools, hospitals, churches, and homes for people. And it's been going on for more than 60 years in the Church of Nazarene. And every time we have an alabaster offering out here, we get $1,000 just like that. And I think we got close to $2,000 the last time we had one in September. So thank you for your giving. Next week, the children will be back in here, and they will help us with the offering for alabaster. So bring your alabaster boxes. There's some out there in the foyer if you need one. And bring, they'll take checks too. But the children are going to come and they're going to help us with the offering. And they have been told not to leave until somebody gives them money. So that's, that always guarantees us that $1,000 always to come in. So a couple announcements that I want to give to you as we're on that track. Something that I want to talk to you about is very serious in the church and very serious in our world today, is something that maybe you've never heard of around here. It's called Nazarene Safe. And there is a mandatory, and I use the word mandatory as it sounds, training. There has to be mandatory training by anyone in our church who works with children or teenagers in any fashion, any shape, form. Even if we have teenagers who work in the nursery, teenagers must go through this training. Several years ago, a federal judge in the Midwest handled a case court of sexual abuse in the Church of Nazarene. And in that court case, the judge handed down mandatory training called Nazarene Safe that would be implemented by every Nazarene church in our denomination. When I became Pastor Grace Point, I found out that this church has never gone through the mandatory training, and it's something that we have got to have. I have been in discussion with the General Church. I've talked to our district superintendent this past Friday and about what we're wanting to do here, and we are still going to have two different training sessions. They're the same type of training session, but two different days to choose from. Again, this is mandatory for anybody who is or plans to work with our children or our teenagers. Travel with them, mentor them, have them in your home, however. This is not a foolproof or 100% effective. There's nothing that is. But what it does, it brings awareness to what we all need to know about and helps us all to be watching and working together so we can create a positive impulse throughout our campus and our community here at Grace Point Nazarene Church for a safe place for our young people to be. As I was growing up as a kid, it was fine to go outside and travel the neighborhood on your bike or walk around and play in everybody's yards, and your mom would open the screen door and yell out your name when it was time for dinner and you go home. Now it's hard to find a neighborhood that has kids running around. Every week somewhere I get a text from some news agency telling me that there has been a child or a teenager abducted or missing. This is an epidemic in our society, and unfortunately, it has not left the church unscathed. There's been reports, even this month, of sexual abuse happening in a local church. So this is something that we take very, very seriously. No one without this training will be allowed to work with our teens or with our children. This has to be done every 3 years. And even if you've taken it the first time, you take it again in the 3 years. Background checks are mandatory along with this. And if you're uncomfortable with any of this, you'll have to step aside and someone else will have to take your place, because as your leadership in the church and your church board and your church staff and myself as your lead pastor, this is something that we must do. So those mandatory dates are next Sunday, February 28th, between the hours of 4 and 6 p.m. right here in the sanctuary, and on Sunday, March 13th, 4 to 6. You pick one of those two dates, and it's the same exact training sessions. And you come, there'll be materials provided for you. We'll meet here. We'll watch videos together. We'll talk about some issues and some things. And then we'll be done. If someone comes to our church in within a three-year period, there's a website that we would send them to that they would have to go through and be certified before they can be with our kids and our teenagers and go through this Nazarene Safe training themselves. If they come from another Nazarene church, they must have certification from the other Nazarene church that they're coming from that they have been through the Nazarene Safe program as well. I'm sorry to bore you with this morning or take up your time with it, but I want you to know how serious I am about this, and that our church should be a safe place for our kids and for our youth. Amen. I want you to watch this video the Church of Nazarene put together that lets us know some statistics and what we're doing here to help. Next Sunday, 4 to 6, and March 13th, 4 to 6, two dates for you to take care of that. We'll meet here at the church, start at 4 o'clock, and be done by 6. Mandatory. There's no other way to put that, and need you to be here one of those two dates. Have any questions about that, feel free to contact me after the service. Contact the office. I'll be glad to talk to you by phone, meeting, whatever we need to do. And so I had a background check when I came to be your pastor. So I'll never do something that I'm asking you to do. I've been through this training three times. We had it done in my previous pastorate twice every 3 years when it started. And every pastor in our district was mandatory meeting to come and watch this as well together. So just want to make sure that we're all on the same page with that. As we're talking about, one more announcement 2 weeks from today is our faith promise. We'll talk more about that next Sunday. 2 weeks from today, one combined service, 10 a.m., and that would be preceded by Saturday, March 5th. Saturday, March 5th, 4 o'clock is a Taste of Nations. We'll have a dinner together, and I've never done that here before. I've heard that's really been a good service in the years past. Looking forward to being part of that again. And so look forward to Faith Promise Weekend with Dr. Bob Broadbrooks to be with us. He's the regional director of the Church of Nazarene for North America and a good friend of Arlene and I. So let's bow our heads, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. For the word of God in which we come to now, we pray, God, that you would open up our heart and our mind as we come to your sacred text for this morning. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, the letter to the church of Ephesus that Paul wrote. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 is where I want us to look at for a few moments this morning. I want to thank Pastor Christy Burnett for doing more than just filling in for me last week while we took a little vacation time to Florida to visit Arlene's family in the St. Pete, Tampa area. But Christy was used of God in a mighty way last Sunday as the way we prayed would happen. And God used her, and we're thankful, Pastor Christy. Thanks for allowing God to use you. And heard many reports about it. And there is a petition going around that I would be removed and you would be in this pulpit permanently. And I'm okay with that if you're all right with that. So I'll step aside this morning if you want to go ahead and start now. You have one ready? It's all mine. Okay. Well, I want to invite her to come and do that again. God's gifted her and used her for that. So we're thankful for our pastoral staff. Thank you for believing in us and praying for us and loving on us. We appreciate all that you do for us. God's word this morning, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And I'm reading from a different version. I'll read from another version in a moment of this great text. Just one verse this morning is all that we have. And again, I'm reading from the NRSV New Revised Standard Version. And here is what it says. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The NIV says it this way, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Again, we are God's handiwork. I want you to know that on this journey that we are going here, this Lenten journey, this period that we are journeying together as a church, together as families, together and maybe in our own individual lives, we have given up something for Lent. Maybe you have done that. A couple weeks ago we talked about that. And we also talked about the atmosphere of that being not just a focus about what we're giving up, but the focus of being what we are taking up, what we are doing instead of. What is that focus? If the focus is just on what we're giving up, we're focused on the wrong thing. We're focusing on more of what we're doing instead of focusing on what we want God to do. And what we want God to do is have his way in our life. And that can scare us at times. When we get to the point and we say, God, here I am, use me. Take me and use me the way I am. We, number one, sometimes we don't think we're very usable. Because, Ken, you don't know my life. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what my past has been like. And we get to a certain age in our life, and I just, as some of you noticed this week, I hit another milestone in my life. And, you know, I told the first service, it won't matter where you guys sit in a few years. I won't be able to see you at my age. And you get to a point in your life and you start reflecting back on it. And somewhere you realize that what life has become has not matched what you thought it would be like in your teens or in your early 20s. You know, you had goals, you had aspirations, and now life has hit you like an oncoming train. And now you're in reality thinking, okay, as one of my friends who was a professor at NTS, Nazarene Theological Seminary in Kansas City, said that he had visions and goals and dreams of his life that one day he would ride down the interstate in a convertible and the wind would just whip around his hair. and not a care in the world. But reality set in, and now with four daughters and a wife, he drives around in a Ford Excursion. See, reality is somewhat different, and sometimes we don't know how to adjust ourselves to what reality has happened. See, some of us will have, you know, have kids, and they're growing up, and some of them have left home, and some of them have come back home. And some of them have come back home with more people. You send out one, four people show up at your doorstep. We have today more grandparents raising children, grandchildren, than ever before. That is a reality that has happened, and that's not a reality that we were thinking of when we were in our 20s and 30s thinking, well, when we have kids and they move out of the house and we are able to have retirement and do what we want to do and go where you want to go, and then the grandkids will come visit us at certain times and we'll love to see them, and then there'll be times when we love to see them go. But sometimes reality doesn't match what we thought, and sometimes we get lost in all that. And we can become to think that we have become a failure in life. Not everything's happened the way we planned it. And where did I go wrong? And why do I deserve this? And then, before you know it, you're not any good use to God or anybody because you're so wrapped up in your life to what hasn't happened that you're not stopping to count your blessings to see what God is doing and what is happening in your life at the very moment. Sometimes the very things that we want are not necessarily the things that we need. That's right. We got to watch that. And we got to watch the controlling of it too. Because the Bible says here, for we have been made a, and I love the NIV version of this when he says that we are a handiwork. We are a masterpiece. I want you to know that. Will you turn to someone right now and say, I am a masterpiece? That's all I'm asking you to say. Now I want you to tell that same person that I'm not done yet. The children get it right when they sing that little song, he's still working on me to make me what he wants me to be. And so know that he's not done working on you yet. He has not left you. But let me tell you something. The work that God may need to do in us and for us could practically be painful. And are we ready to allow God to have his way to where he can enter in anytime he wants to and do what he needs to, not to punish us, but to shave off, to knock off the rough edges of our life, to make us more into the image of his son? Are we going to allow him to do that? You know, I had plans and dreams for my children. I do not think that any of them, I want them to go into the pastorate. Not because I don't like it, but because I don't want them to do it because I am. They have to be called to do this. So there's no pressure on us or anybody else that somebody's got to follow somebody. I was always asked, was your dad a pastor? My dad worked heavy equipment construction all of his life. He has a hard time hearing now because he worked in that big heavy equipment things. So when I talk to dad, it's very unreverent for me to think I'm screaming at him. And thank goodness they got those little things called. What'd you say? No, hearing aids now. That's helped him a bit, for sure. But I just want my children, to whatever they go into, to know that they are God's handiwork and that God is going to use them for his good works and for his purposes and whatever they choose and whatever God wants them to do. Michael came to us. Michael, where you at? Hey, wake up. Michael, our oldest, came to Arlene and I a year ago and said, I want to do a YouTube channel. It didn't take me 20 seconds. I said, no. No, you're not doing a YouTube channel. You want to do a YouTube channel? Everybody sees you. Everybody, I mean, that's just sort of like, I don't think that's great for a 15-year-old. Initially, nah, not going to happen. And then, because he's a dove, he keeps on persisting and keeps on coming back around going, I don't think you understand, and I don't think I really want to understand. But, Dad, I'm not going to be on the YouTube channel. My face is not going to be, it's just going to be my voice. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to talk about video games. Who would want to watch you talk about video games? That's what I'm thinking. Who would want to watch that anyway? And I read yesterday where I'm preaching this sermon, not you. I read the other day where 100 million people watch people play video games on YouTube. 100 million people. And people are getting paid to do this. These gamers, it's in the New Atlanta magazine I saw yesterday. There was a game championship here in Atlanta. For one of the games is made here in Atlanta, so the championship was here, and the winners took home over $250,000. And the arena was filled with onlookers watching these gamers play the game on a big screen. It's amazing what's happening. I can't put my hand around it. And so Michael goes, well, I want to, and so I said, okay. And you end up going to get paid for this? Really? Okay, go ahead. So he set up his YouTube channel called, and that wasn't even Michael telling me. Thank you, Matt. Matt over there telling me Michael's page's YouTube channel is called The Last Man Standing. And I'm going to YouTube now, and I'm looking at it. And he don't be watching it while I'm preaching. Not what that's about. I'm looking at the subscribers. 3,080 subscribers. And back in October, I remember driving to school with him one day, and he goes, Dad, I've only got 79 subscribers. I'm never going to get 80. And now, since October, he's jumped up to 3,080. Here's what blows my mind. How many people has watched this? How many views? 855,309 views on his YouTube channel. And here's what's happened since a few weeks ago. He signs a contract with a company that's going to pay him money to do this. And now he has already gotten in his account more money than I made at his age when I was mowing yards all summer. Now, we were talking about what this money thing is going to do to him. What's he going to do with it? First thing he said, 10% goes to the church. The heavens opened. And I just saw visions of $250,000 dancing all around. Yeah, Mike Dove goes to our church. You mean the gamer, the guy that has a YouTube channel about Star Wars Battlefront? Never thought this. But you know what I had to do? I had to relinquish the control of a parent and put my trust in him that he would know what he's doing. And the symbol on his YouTube channel is a cross. And he told me, he says, Dad, I want to make a difference in people's lives when they can come to my channel and know it's going to be clean. And parents can send their grandkids to my channel, and they're going to just have a good time. Now my dad calls me from Nashville. Grandpa Dad, okay? Grandpa James Dove calls me, and he's calling, hey, when's Michael putting up another video? I never thought I'd hear that. How can we trust God to allow him to have control of our life? He's got some things he wants us to do. And yet we kind of go, no way. No way he can use me. From what I've been through and from the dreams that's been shattered in my life, there's no way. But you've been created. You've been created a handiwork, a masterpiece to be used of God, it says, for good works. And let me talk about the good works. The good works cannot produce salvation. But the good works are produced by the salvation. It comes from the work of Christ that is empowering us. It's Philippians 1:6, one of my favorite verses. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He's not done with us yet. He is still working on us. Praise God for that. The point of the season of Lent is to find ourselves under the transforming work of God's grace in a totally different way than we've ever expected it. And just maybe for the first time, it changes us. It changes ourselves to fully understand that the ultimate question for this Lenten season for us, this journey to the cross as we go together, could be this way. In what ways is my life ultimately set apart for God and for His mission around me? That is meaning my family, that's meaning my community, my workplace, where I go to school, who I hang out with, what videos I'm watching. It talks about me individually as well, of who I am in Christ and allowing His power to set me apart for His work in this journey and on His mission. Are we available right now to God to allow Him to do His work on us? And it could be painful. I want us to watch one of my favorite skits this morning. It's from the Skit Guys. And if we have teenagers here that went to NYC last summer, they saw these guys in person. And I want you to watch their most requested skit and let it speak to you this morning.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running. I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus?
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel,
no,
talk,
no, chisel. No. I choose to chisel.
All right. through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away, because ultimately, you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just, when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
no, chisel. No, chisel, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years. These empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them, and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach your back pocket.
What?
Reach your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at that as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Every time I see that, I see myself, because he's still not working on me. And then I think of people who watch this video with me. I wonder if there's people here this morning that you need God to do some chiseling. Take some things out that shouldn't be there. To take away those misconceptions that we have about ourselves that we're trying to live up to or living to someone else's gratification for. So if you need to come and pray this morning and allow God to do his work, I invite you to come. Let's all stand together, shall we? You just come right where you are.
Nothing but